Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Rue.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
I wanted to burp, but it felt like barf, so... Stopped it quickly.
Good.
Would have been a little one, but it would have been gross. Coffee and hummus. And one pierogi.
And none of those sound good together. Mashed together, yeah. That would have been really gross. I guess it would have been on me, too.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 77.
This week in music history, hello J-Lo.
This week we have an acoustic track from Nothing More.
And for our roundtable, three things you can do now with your new single. Let's jump right into This Week in Music History, where we look at things that happened this week.
In music history.
Like before this week.
This
week was a little block of time.
Before.
In history.
Music. And why do we do this, Rue? It's honestly, because, you know, we've been doing this segment now for over a year, and, you know, I just kind of feel like reflecting for a moment.
Why do we do this? I think it's for the fun of it.
Yeah, it's really neat, because this podcast is focused on music.
Mm-hmm.
We are a music company, so I think for those of you that are wondering, like, hey, like, why are you doing that segment or whatever, I honestly just think it's really neat to just take a second and look back at what has happened. Some major events, some are dorky events that we just like to pick up for no reason, and just say, hey, that was fun. And, you know, historical things.
I have a history minor from the university.
Oh, no. Nerd.
You're
about to celebrate the content nerd. So. And on that note.
Let's go.
July 24th, 1970. Happy birthday, J-Lo.
Happy birthday, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, so happy birthday today. Hopefully you're celebrating as a newly single woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her and Casper. No, there's rumors she's with that guy from Dancing with the Stars, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows these things? She's probably with Kim Kardashian. July 25th, 1960, Roy Orbison reached number 2 on the U.S. singles chart. Did you pick this because you want me to sing it?
Yeah.
With Only the Lonely. I used to love, like, I was one of those kids in public school who listened to Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison.
Oh, okay. His first hit. The song was turned down by the Everly Brothers and Elvis Presley, so Orbison decided to record the song himself.
This picture being like, screw it, I'll do it. Number 2.
Was such a good song, too. Only the Lonely was great. And if you ever get a Roy Orbison sort of greatest hits, all of them are good songs.
All of them are like, greatest hits.
He didn't write a bad song.
July 26, 2006, not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
The final edition of Top of the Pops was recorded at BBC Television Centre in London. Mm-hmm. Just under 200 members of the public were in the audience, and it was co-hosted by veteran disc jockey Sir Jimmy Savile, and he was the very first presenter on the show.
Oh, cool.
Classic performances from The Spice Girls, Wham, Madonna, Beyonce, and Robbie Williams were featured on the show alongside the Rolling Stones, who were actually the very first band to appear on Top of the Pops.
Oh, neat.
New Year's Day, 1964.
Very cool.
So it was probably a very emotional day on set, I'm sure.
Top of the Pops is always neat. Go back and look it up. Some of them are really funny. Where like
and corny because you have to lip
the
sync,
artists,
right?
The lip sync, and some of the artists don't really look like they're trying to pretend they're playing the instruments.
Well, so in the '60s, they were like all rebels. And
yeah,
they were just like meh.
Badass. July 27th, 1991. Oh, another one for me to sing. Jesus Jones went to number 2 on the U.S. chart with
Right Here, Right Now. There is no other place I want to be.
Unfortunately, he was unable to shift
Everything I do it for you, Bryan Adams.
From a 7-week stay at the number 1 position, Jesus Jones almost made number 1, but Bryan Adams got in the way.
Silly CanCon.
I know, right?
July 28th, 1992. this guy by the name of Ice-T announced that Warner Brothers Records is going to pull the controversial song, Cop Killer, from all future copies of his Body Count
body
album.
Body Count.
The song had been the target of protests by law enforcement groups who said it encouraged the killing of police. Ice-T said he would give away recordings of Cop Killer at his concerts, because he's all, like, rebellious and such.
Yep.
In an ironic twist, Rue, what show did Ice-T appear on?
A cop. Was it a Law & Order one?
Yeah.
He also played, I believe, an ex-cop turned kangaroo in Tank Girl.
Oh, God, sounds like a great movie.
All the characters were like ex-humans who were turned into kangaroos, except for the main one everybody loved, who was actually a dog.
Oh, Jesus.
And then became an intelligent kangaroo. It was an awesome movie! Malcolm McDowell, Lori Petty. It was hilarious. Ice-T. Tank Girl's very cool. So, that's your nerd dose
that's
for today.
Yeah.
I also remember when Body Count was out, and I remember people trying to find copies with Cop Killer on it. I don't think anybody cared about the message of the song.
No, just because you were told not to.
Yeah, so you're trying to find it. July 29th, 1967. The Doors, give me all the songs. The Doors started a 3-week run at number one, which Jesus Jones was unable to do, at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Come On Baby, Light My Fire. The group's first number one hit. It only reached 49 on the UK chart. Interesting.
Pacha.
I remember
cool, UK.
Friends in high school being obsessed with his poetry, and he talked a lot about things that I can't say on the podcast in his poetry. So
drugs will do that.
Yes.
July 30th, 1991, a police officer was forced to tear up a traffic ticket given to the limousine that Axl Rose was in. After it made an illegal turn, Rose threatened to pull that night's Guns N' Roses gig if the ticket was issued. So the power of Axl Rose.
Yeah, quite a powerful man.
Not Cop Killer, Ticket Killer.
Ticket Killer.
And that's this week in music history.
Yay! So, in the new streamlined Radio Dale, we now jump straight into a bit of music, a musical interlude.
Yes.
Musical interlude.
We give you a little taste. And then if you like the song, you go buy the song.
You go buy the song. And
or
stream
it.
Stream it.
Stream, yeah, stream, buy, support. If you like it, check the band out online.
Share, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, what is today's song, Amber?
It is a track that I believe we've played before, but in a twist, a plot twist. This is actually a different version of the track. And we just want to mix things up because this track is getting a great reaction. So in the past, if you listen to our podcast, we featured a band by the name of Nothing More, and they're out of San Antonio, Texas. And they have a huge track out right now called This Is the Time Ballast, and it's actually number 3 on the rock radio charts in the U.S. right now. And we're actually getting some action starting here in Canada on Canadian commercial rock radio. They're huge on Sirius Octane, so if you're listening to that, you probably are already familiar with these guys. Big sales happening in Canada for this single as well. They just released their debut self-titled album in June. And again, this track, This Is the Time Ballast, doing really well. But now, the track that they that is playing, they actually have an acoustic track that they performed on Sirius Octane that is now making the rounds. And the cool thing about this band, when I say acoustic, you're probably thinking one or two guitars and the guy singing. They actually still maintain the integrity of the band because they're a type of band, and I don't know if you have some comparisons, Rue, but to other groups, but there's a lot of effects and different things these guys have, and their acoustic setup is pretty intense.
Yeah.
So it's mixed in with, I believe, there's still electric in there, like the guitar. Is it electric bass or is it acoustic bass?
Electric bass, and they definitely have a lot of effects. They have sort of a track they're playing to that they've obviously produced themselves.
Yeah.
And it involves sort of synthesizers, but also vocal effects, and it's interesting because that's what they have on their heavy song you can find on the album, but they apply it to this acoustic version, which has an acoustic guitar playing.
Yeah, so it's really cool. It's and if you're in Toronto, they're actually going to be playing at Lee's Palace on Wednesday, August 13th. tickets are super cheap. I think they're like $10. Mm-hmm. And this is their first time in Canada. So if you dig this song and you look into the band, you find you really like them, be sure to come out to the show because they are awesome live. They do some crazy stuff on stage. It is so cool. It's so entertaining. And there's some really great things happening with this band. So here is the acoustic, in quotations, version of This Is The Time Ballast by Nothing New.
Nothing More, acoustic version, quotes, of This Is The Time, bracket, ballast.
Bracket.
Bracket. So now it is time to go to our round table where we usually talk about a subject that either has caught our eye, something going on in the music industry, or some questions that have come up to help independent artists get their career kickstarted or overcome some kind of obstacle, things that just sort of keep coming around. And we're like, you know what? This seems to be a problem that needs fixing.
Yes, a fixin'.
A fixin'. So today we are looking at specifically three things you can do right now with your single. And the sort of extended version of this is, what can you do right now with a single release without radio, kind of build an interest online or just in general without actually having radio behind you?
Yeah, and
maybe with an ear towards getting on the radio.
Yeah, your goal is eventually getting onto radio or getting radio to pay attention, because one of the things we face here at Dale Speaking and you know, what we bring to our clients is the common issue of, you know, if you're a brand new artist and it's your first single, or even if you're, you know, it's your third, fourth, fifth single, whatever, radio does say to you, you know, I need people talking about this song. I need to I need people to be calling me and tell me to play this song. So then you as the artist are sitting there looking at us going, well, how am I supposed to get people talking about my song or paying attention to it or creating a buzz when I don't have airplay?
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest things I think that comes up sometimes for us. So, yeah, so there's some really neat ideas that we've brainstormed as a group and executed at the company, as well as recently, and then as well as some of our clients are doing their own thing to get things started.
Yeah.
I think it was really really important that we sat down and talked about this today because, it's
becoming a bigger deal that you have to sort of have some kind of presence online and some kind of engagement that people actually see. There are people listening to this song, talking about the song. And then they're looking at that and trying to decide which of all these songs that are actually getting the attention online are the ones we want to play.
Well, and that's in one of the, when I call a music director and say, I have this song, blah, 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 they, you know, this band is doing this, this, and this. They'll say, well, no one in my audience is calling me to tell me to play this song.
Yeah. So five things, we're going to sort of begin and end with these five things, just as sort of a framing point. Okay. For the three things, so let me explain this better.
Yeah.
We have three very practical things that you can do right now to help promote your single online. But these are sort of the five factors that you're looking to try to achieve. And the five factors are to engage your fans, to expose the song so you get your song out to a lot of people, to build a buzz, to have people actually talking about the song, a bit more sort of vague, but to test a single. You may not know which of your songs actually is the song people want to hear. So it's an opportunity to test a single. And then that altogether gives you online presence before going to radio. So those are sort of the five factors you want to achieve. But these are now three things you can do to achieve those factors. So yes. Let's look at number one. What do you have on your list?
One thing that kind of keeps popping up around here lately are fan-generated videos. What does that mean, Rue?
Well, a fan-generated video could be that you call out to fans and ask them to send in footage of them dancing to your song, or maybe lip-syncing to your song, or maybe footage of something relating to the song. Mm-hmm. So as an example, Andrew Austin, who is an artist we work with, recently did a song that he wanted to release for as a Father's Day tribute, and he wanted to have footage of fathers with their kids, with their babies. And he got a lot of great footage in and then pieced it together to make a video for one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to do a more upbeat video because you have sort of a dance song. And I believe, Amber, you know about an artist recently who just released or is about to release a dancey video about dancing. What's the song called again?
It is called Dance.
Oh.
And it's a Canadian country duo, or alt country, or whatever the hell you want to say. They are called The Lovelocks, and they have a song called Dance, and their idea was, before taking the single to radio, we've had a single before this one at radio, and they're relatively new in the eyes of Canadian country radio. So one of the really cool ideas they had was create this video where fans submit them dancing and having just fun and doing whatever. And it doesn't have, and the footage didn't have to be amazing quality. It was just submit you dancing and you can make it into their music video, which will be released at a later date. This is all happening. So not only do you have a music video that has essentially been created almost for free to an extent, but then you have all the promo leading up to it. So you have 2 weeks of, you know, online push and getting submissions and having people talk about it, but then you have the video release and then you have what happens after the video, which could be anything. It could have press talking about it, radio can start, personnel can start seeing it and going, oh, that's interesting. And it's an organic, natural way to get a song going out rather than I've released my single on this date and it's going, and it's, you know, if you're a bigger artist, you know, you may not need to go through these types of things, but as a newer artist, you have to start thinking of creative ways. And I think the Lovelocks did a really great job, and Andrew Austin as well.
Yeah.
Because it starts to get people within the, like, whether it's CBC or whatever outlet, getting them to pay attention, and they start to really warm up to you and keep their eye on you. So I think that's, it was really neat that the Lovelocks are doing that. It's a really good strategy.
There's the added bonus that the people involved in the video will then have more of a desire to share it around as well.
Yeah.
So if you get 50 fans sending you footage and you put all 50 fans' footage into your video, you're going to get those 50 fans sharing your video for you among all the other fans that are happy to share it. And another example would be Take Me to the Pilot, which is another artist we work with, Winnipeg Pop Punk. I almost said Pope Punk.
Pope Punk.
Pop Punk. Catholic Punk. Pop Punk Trio from Winnipeg, as I said. And they actually did kind of a neat variation where Andrew and the Lovelocks take the footage and edit it into like a linear video of just the footage.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they shot a performance video and have frames over the stage into which they're going to put the videos. So you actually have a full video with them performing on stage, but on the stage you'll see what essentially looks like projected, the video of fans singing along to the song.
That's
so
cool.
It's another interactive and creative way of doing a fan-sourced video, but sort of stepping it up and essentially making it like a full music video.
Yeah,
awesome. But all three of these ways are great because they can get people talking, they can get people sharing, and it gives you a campaign before, during, and after that you may not have if you just throw the single out on SoundCloud and hope people listen.
Depending on how well it does, gives you ammo for going to radio.
Yeah, totally.
You can say, hey, I got so many thousands of views. I had it shared here, here, and here. I've had interviews here and there. That's so much better than just going, here's my new song.
It has 500 listens on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. It gives more of a story. And we said before, the story is really important. The story in the song. Song obviously is very important, but the story is almost as important behind the song. Cool. So,
number two. And again, it's another scenario where we've actually dealt with this creative idea recently. Mm-hmm. And Rue, you can kind of take this one and run.
Sure.
But it is Q&A videos based on the song.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, Take Me to the Pilot again. They are obviously the creative geniuses of the Dale speaking world right now because they have a really neat campaign going on that is multi-leveled about their new single called What They Ask For. And one of the things they're doing is what they call QNTMTTP, so question and take me to the pilot instead of Q&A, and they're answering questions, all four members of the band, on video that are asked to them. So fans can send in questions like, what's your most embarrassing moment on stage? What are you famous for? What was the band that first inspired you to get into music? And the band answers the questions on camera instead of, you know, their personalities. You get to get their personalities out of it. Mm-hmm. This is really useful for bands, especially if you have a very tight band of people. It's not like two band members and then three session players or something.
Yeah.
When you have a band that's been together for like 3 or 4 years, like Take Me to the Pilot, they are at a point now where the personalities of each member are a really useful way to help people get inside their heads, mm-hmm. and get interested. So you'll get to see what Mike, the lead singer, how he answers a question, because he might be goofier than, say, Eric, the guitarist, who might just be straightforward. Mm-hmm. Or John, who is the drummer, and he might just have a different twist on how to answer the question. They also include with that, and they always have had tour videos, because they're constantly on tour, so they'll have like tour vlogs and other things. But this sort of question and answer video is a neat way to engage with fans, to build up interest, and to let people inside, so you kind of get an idea of what they're like.
And at the end of the day, it's focused around the single.
Around the single, which is what they ask for. They are looking at other ways. You can basically take your song and think, how can your song apply? The Love Locks dance. So they got people dancing. For Andrew Austin, they were looking at Father's Day stuff, so they use fathers and their kids. And would Take Me to the Pilot, what they ask for is a perfect way to get fans engaged. There may be even another video series down the road. It's not confirmed yet, but keep an eye on Take Me to the Pilot, because they may have sort of three approaches to how to use video to promote their single before the single even goes to radio.
And then, and I think that's important, because not only you're using the theme of the song in this, and like Bruce said, you're getting people engaged and people are talking about it. So that's a really neat way to kind of make people promote your single without realizing they're promoting your single. So, and then let's want to move on to number three.
Number three.
The third and final tip is hashtag contests on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I should almost say hashtags and contests on social media. And there's an example I'll use here of Bobby Wills, Canadian country artist. And he had a song, again, going on the theme of the song, called Crazy Enough. And on Twitter and Facebook, he had fans hashtag Crazy Enough. And they would submit a photo of them doing something crazy, and they could win Bobby Wills swag, signed this or that or whatever. So that's a really simple and easy way just to get people to pay attention. And this all happened before the single went out. It's a piece that you could use, you know, if you're going to radio for a couple of weeks, 1 or 2 weeks, and just say, hey, this is happening. But listen, people are, again, promoting your single. Your fans are promoting your single without even realizing they're promoting the single.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have to have something to offer them. So if you're going to ask your fans to, submit a photo of them doing this and that, or submit this and that, make sure there's something in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it was brilliant, and there's lots of those things you see online on Twitter and stuff like that. Big musicians, small musicians.
Yeah.
It's using hashtags is so smart. And so I thought that one was really cool to share.
Yeah, and it's a simple one, where the other ones involve collecting video, editing video, releasing video. This could be a matter of getting fans to even just send in a text response, like, what is your favorite song on the album? If you want to go that basically, you could turn into a hashtag thing, and then you actually be collecting information as well on what song people like. So that goes with number four for that five factors list, testing a single.
Yeah.
That's a way you can maybe get information. What are people's favorite song?
Yeah.
It may be that song that would work really well on radio as well. And then you can start looking at the fan-generated video or Q&A videos or anything like that to help promote the single that your fans essentially chose for you.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of these tips, ideas, are ways that you can help build an interest for your single before you even think of going to radio.
Yeah, and it helps your story. It helps you create a story. And,
yeah.
And I think the one thing, or a few things we should point out, though, is if you're a new artist and you're like, I want to go to radio tomorrow and I've never done anything other than record my music and start a Facebook page, rethink the strategy, because all of these tips will not make a lot of sense for you if you don't have other things happening, including, you need a plan, at least a one-year plan as to what you're doing. You need to be doing, you need to be touring, you need to have shows, you need a fan base already built. It's okay if it's a small fan base, but you need to be on social media already for pretty decent amount of time before this, because you need to have people that are going to care. You need to have engaged them already in order for them to record themselves doing something. If you've already released an EP prior to this and you've done touring based on the EP but you've never approached radio, that's fine. But you need to have had a base built. And you can still do these things. It's not like, you need to be active and people need to be aware of you on social media.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're just going to be sending out this stuff to nobody.
And that's one sort of mistake people think. I know with Kickstarter campaigns and crowdfunding campaigns, as well as just social media, you might have a great album, a great collection of songs. You'll put it out on social media or you'll start up a Kickstarter campaign and then wonder why things aren't rolling in, fans aren't rolling in. It's because you're essentially shouting to an empty room.
Yeah.
The way to get all of this started is to already have a fan base built or to be actively building a fan base by reaching out. We've talked about this on previous podcasts about having a fan base online is essentially the foundation of everything else you can do in the industry. And once you have that foundation built, for instance, these three tips that we just gave today, again, coming back to the five factors, you're looking to engage your fans, so you want your fans to be interacting with you. You're looking to expose the song, so they know the song is out there to listen to. You're looking to build a buzz. You want them talking about the song among themselves and their fans, or their friends. You want to test a single, so you want to see, is this the right song? And in the end, you're trying to build an online presence before going to radio, so that when people look online, they see the fans are already talking, they know the single is out there, they're interacting with the video, or maybe even engaging with the video by sending in pictures or whatever. Yeah. Those are the five things you're looking to hope to build.
Achieve.
You want to achieve these. So the three tips we gave you are just, you could totally take them.
Take them, run with them, change them to how it suits you better. Mm-hmm. But it's just three ideas that you can take and, like we said, make your own, but it's really a great starting point because some people, just like we said before, some people just think, I have to take my song to radio and then they will make it happen and then I will be famous. It does not work that way. And
radio comes last. That's one of the things Dale says here at the office all the time. And this is a radio-focused business. Radio comes last, but you can do something before that.
Wisdom. I wish.
From Dale Speaking. Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.